1 Corinthians, and we're on to, any guesses?
What?
And we're on to
2 Corinthians.
Right. We're still in Corinthians. It's just the next letter. Wow.
Is number 2 a letter?
Huh?
Guys, apparently the number 2 is a letter.
All right, so verses 1 and 2 will be on the screen. Mana?
Yeah. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in. In all.
Achaia. Yeah, Achaia.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
It's like Acacia, but not.
Actually, that's how the internet pronounces it, at least.
Well, the internet is American, so I think that counts.
All right, so it seems that, you know, between Paul's first letter and this letter, that in Corinth, there's been this group. This group what's been going around, and they started this movement. And this movement is to discredit Paul. No.
Oh, no. So,
this group. They would do that. And it seems like, you know, we don't know how much ground they've been catching up on, or if they've been doing, you know, they've been making strides or something, but it came back to them. Now, Paul opens this letter just like most ancient letters and letters today are opened. You start with what?
Salutations.
Salutations. Exactly. Which is? Your greeting, right? And you're also in that greeting, you let people know who the letter is from, right?
Yeah.
No, it's just
not
random.
Usually at the end you do that.
It's unknown.
It depends on, yeah, whether or not you want them.
Yeah, like, what if you wanted to
do,
like, a secret?
Just saying. Whoa. So in this case, Paul wants to let them know who he is. Why is that? So they know it's him. So he's kind of reaffirming who he is.
Also, wasn't there a lot of people pretending to be him?
Yes, there was. There were some false prophets. There were some false letters, people trying to say, oh, this is from Paul, and you should give me money. So he's reaffirming who he is. Letting him know who he actually is. And that's why Paul says, I'm Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, apostle, if we break down the basic meaning of that word, it means one sent forth. Right? So somebody was sent forth. Was sent out. No, I'm never done. But in the Bible, it means a little bit more. It means somebody who was sent forth personally from Jesus. Excuse me, a second. So, where would our brains go? As far as, no, you guys don't have to look while you get a tissue.
Yes.
But I wasn't going to pull any fast ones. So it was sent forth, and if it's personally from Jesus, our brains would naturally go to what? Who?
Wait,
what gentleman?
Paul? I'm sorry, I'm lost.
Would it go to Paul, or would it go to the 12 disciples?
Oh. I would go to Paul, but, you know.
It would go to Paul? Why would it go to Paul?
It was cool and special.
But... But he wasn't one of the disciples. Why is, you know, in fact, he was somebody who persecuted the church in the beginning of his life, right?
I don't know how my brain works.
That is all right. But so while persecuting the church, he was actually going to persecute Christians. He is on a road to a certain city, the city of Damascus. And then Jesus showed up and he knocked him off his high horse. Right?
<Just great>.
he gave him a little reality check.
Then he got blinded, and then his eyes were ruined for the rest of his life.
Nope.
Yeah.
Well, Paul was being very shady. We were talking about people being shady. And Paul was being very shady, and Jesus did show him the light, the glory, his glory. From there, Jesus sent Paul to a Christian named Ananias. Now, while Paul is traveling there, Jesus talks to Ananias about Paul. And we're going to pick up in Acts 9, verse 15. And then who, Jesus don't be speaking here, and who's he speaking to? Huh? Ananias, right. All right, so verse 15, Cassia, can you read that?
But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel."
So Paul was sent. He was personally sent by Jesus, right? So your brain would be right to go to Paul as being an apostle. Good job. Paul was writing to the Corinthian church. It wasn't because it was his job. It wasn't a title. It wasn't a way to make money, to get food. He was sent by the highest authority there is. Also we see that Paul was accompanied by Timothy. Why is that a big deal? Well, we know that Timothy also went to Corinth, and he taught there, and he was with them. So that church of Corinth would have known Timothy. They would have respected Timothy. So it's kind of on who you know. Obviously, Jesus is a big one, but life's about who you know and how people perceive you. Because if they like Timothy, it's like, oh yeah, I like Timothy, I like Paul. It goes along with that. Paul is writing this letter to the church of God in Corinth and all the saints in Achaia, right? Achaia is, does anybody know what modern country that would be today? Huh?
Austria.
Austria, wrong.
Kenya.
Huh? Where?
Kenya?
No.
Can you just tell us?
I can. In the Mediterranean Sea. Not Italy, but next to Italy.
I don't know what's next to
Italy.
Oh, you guys, I love...
Hey,
no. But it's Greece. Sorry, it was Greece. It's Greece. It's southern Greece, actually. But so all the saints in Greece. Now, over the years, it seems like man has made that word saint to mean a lot more than what it did here. Here it means to be set apart. Set apart, believing in the one true God, not believing in idols, but believing in Jesus. Which is huge, don't get me wrong, it's huge to be a saint. But it doesn't mean somebody is holier than Swiss cheese, right? It doesn't mean they're, no one should pray to Paul, or Saint Paul. There's a group what ordained people to be saints. And it's not that. You know, we don't need a middleman. We should be praying straight to Jesus. You know, he wants us to pray to him, not to somebody else. Paul would be the first person to tell you, no, I'm just a man. I'm just a man. He points all of his achievements towards God, not how good he is. In 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4, Jesse, can you read that? Right. I think it's pretty safe, or fairly safe, that we've all had bad days, right?
No, never.
Never. Oh. You've never had a bad day where, you know, sometimes those days feels like weeks. Things aren't going your way. Bad month. Yes, I mean sometimes it goes like that. Now, if there are some, talked about, there are some that will teach that if you have enough faith that you will never, ever suffer. If you find yourself in that church, find the nearest exits, which we have three here. If I ever teach that, run. Exactly, run, because they're not teaching from the Bible. John 16, verse 33. Eliana, did I say it right? Nice. Feel like reading? All right. John 16, 33. One second. That's 2 Corinthians. We're almost there. Right there. All right, so isn't usually one that you stick up in the doorway of your house? It's like, oh, yay, I'm going to have tribulations. The simple answer to the question is why, is we live in a broken world. We've been living in a broken world ever since the first sin, which was created by Adam and Eve, right? And along with that first sin, pain and suffering came with that sin. However, that's not the end of the story. It said, be a good cheer, right? We have a friend what will help us through all in any tribulations. God uses all kinds of things for his good. Sometimes he even uses people. Sometimes. People who have suffered similar things, you know, they have a bond. There's kind of a natural bond, a feeling that, oh, I know what they're going through, or they know what I'm going through, so I feel connected to them. I feel like I could trust them and that they could help me. So, but unfortunately, in order to have that bond or to have that feeling or know what somebody's going through, you have to go through that suffering. You know, you have to know, you have to go through that and get comforted so that you could in turn comfort them. You know, God's gifts are never for us to keep ourselves. And only, oh, that's for me. No, it's not about that. It's our gifts are so that we could share them with other people. So they're meant to be passed along. We're supposed to, what God gives us, we're supposed to show other people and give them the same. In 2 Corinthians 1, 5 and 7, 7 5 through 7, Nathan, do you feel like reading that? I know it's
sure.
It's a lot, sorry.
For as the suffering of the Christ all abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and
salvation.
Salvation, which is effective for
enduring
the same suffering which we also suffer, or if we are comforted, it is for your
consolation.
Consolation. And the salvation. And our hopes for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of sufferings, so also you will be partake of the consolation.
Awesome job. There's some big words. That's a long one too. Know that we're going to go through tribulations, right? Knowing that is kind of reality, and it's, we can give hope and comfort to others. We have to keep that in mind when we go through tribulations. Remembering that it's not a competition. Hey, I suffered more than you. Guys didn't even suffer. It's not that. You know, we're trying to give hope. You're trying to give hope. You're trying to build people up so that they'll endure and they'll be strong. You're trying to get them to get through the tribulations the same way you got through the tribulations, and that's trusting in Jesus. Hebrews 12, 10 and 11.
Chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it.
Suffering is not joyful, right? It's just not fun. However, if we could help somebody you love, is that not joyful? Does that not bring us joy? What would you be willing to do in order to help somebody that you love? What would you be willing to put up with so that we could help somebody?
Is that a rhetorical question?
Huh? That's a rhetorical question. That is a question to reflect on. I mean, if you want to answer, you could answer, but it's more of a question. I don't know. I'm not putting it out there. You could reflect on it. Or in 2 Corinthians 1:8. Anna, can you read that?
For we do not want you to be ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life.
So Paul here, he's letting Corinth know what's happening in Asia. In Asia, that's Ephesus. You know, the Ephesians, so that's in Ephesus, that's ancient, so Asia's the modern of Ephesus. He's not saying, oh, look at me, look what I can endure. You know, just like what we were saying, it's not that people cannot show comfort that God showed them if they don't know you need comforted. Right? Stubbornness can get in the way. Thinking that I don't need anybody else can get in the way. Pride gets in the way. And acting like Gary gets in the way. Right? If you don't receive, if you don't fully go, okay, yes, I want comfort, or I'm receiving comfort, if you don't do that, you know, you could end up being callous and hardened. And when you do that, you don't give out, or you don't give people comfort. Because you don't receive it. It's kind of this process. You need to receive comfort in order to go, oh, this is what I should do. And bonehead, you should give comfort to those who are hurting. But we need to receive it. You know, that so that we could have compassion towards other people. There's nothing wrong with asking for help. There's nothing wrong with opening up to somebody. And, you know, sometimes it's a great release and comfort to open up to somebody. So we also, along with that, on the other side, so we should be thinking about that. Oh, to comfort them, I need to be there. I need to show up. I need to listen. And maybe sometimes that's all it is just to listen. You don't have to solve the world hunger. You just need to listen. You just need to be there for them. 2 Corinthians 9 and 10. Cassia?
Yes, we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us.
So Paul is not the hope. He's not saying, oh, look at me, I endured this, pray to me, right? Jesus is the hope. Paul had so many enemies, Each day, he never knew if that was going to be his last day. Yet, he still praised God every single day. And why he did that is because he knew that's where comfort comes from. Verse 11, Jesse.
You also helping together in prayer for us that thanks may be given. Sorry, I cannot read. Sorry. You also helping together in prayer for us that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gifts granted to us through many.
So that power of not being alone, the power of not feeling abandoned, is huge. You know, being there for somebody is a great comfort. Praying for others, not just saying, oh, I'll pray for you, and then forgetting about it, but actually praying is a great comfort to them because they're counting on you to pray for them. They feel like they're praying for you. If they don't trust that you're going to pray for them, no, it's not a comfort. But if they think that you're praying for them, it's a great comfort. And we can't let them down when we tell somebody we're going to pray for them. Psalms 23, 4. Aliana?
Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you and with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
So who uses a rod and a staff? Anybody? No? Gold hoarders? No.
Smack them with sticks.
Smack them with sticks. Uh-huh.
The goat people use?
The goat, yeah, goat and sheep, shepherds. Right? The shepherds. Shepherds use rods and staffs. And the reason they use rods and staff, they're used to rescue, to protect, maybe to teach. There's a little discipline, but they use them to protect and guide the sheep. But it's all done out of a symbol of love. A symbol of love in that they care for those who are under their charge, meaning they're sworn to protect. You know, that's who they're taking care of. And our Lord, our protector, will lead us through dark and difficult valleys. You know, and we don't need to fear evil. We don't need to fear death. Because Jesus overcame all evil. He overcame death. And he's for us and he wants the best for us. He'll be there if we let him be there. Lana, do you want to close us in prayer?